In New York City's Central Park, there's a beautiful terrace. It's a place that was designed by the creators of the park back in the 1860s to be a gathering place for all of the city. The park planners wanted the space to reflect the virtue of love, probably because this was right after the horrible and bloody Civil War of the United States. This space, this terrace, was to include a fountain and a pool at its center, and officials envisioned a statue of some grandiose sort that would top the fountain. By great happenstance, Emma Stebbins, a young sculptor, was chosen. She's the first woman to ever receive an artistic commission in New York City. When tasked with what image she would use to embody the concept of love, she proposed the Angel of the Waters, inspired by our reading today by John 5. It's about a place just outside of the gates of Jerusalem and a legendary angel that supposedly troubled the water or stirred it up in order to provide healing to one lucky person that made it to the water first. This pool was a real place. In fact, its location has recently been unearthed. And back then, many people sought this place for cures from ailments. It was thought by the ancient Greeks that the god Asclepius, the son of Apollo, would heal them there. And it was believed by Jews and Gentiles alike that an angel or the Holy Spirit did the healing. Anyway, the legend behind this gospel passage was meaningful for Stebbins, especially because the water source for this fountain would be from a recently constructed aqueduct that would bring fresh, clean water into a city that had been plagued with waterborne diseases such as malaria. So she was inspired to depict the concept of love in the divine form of healing and wholeness. Today, it's a place to make sure you have your picture taken. And it's also a meeting place for many. It's a landmark of meaning. It was a central plot point of the Tony Award-winning play Angels in America as a symbol of healing and reconciliation during the AIDS epidemic in the 80s. And it continues to be a real-life sacred spot for thousands that are drawn to this angel but may not ever know who Jesus is. It represents something that we all want, but as Christians, we really know that real wholeness is possible and accessible through God, through his Son, Jesus Christ, and through the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, that has been sent to stir up the waters in our lives. My very small effort today to stir things up comes in the form of even choosing this gospel reading today, because we've ditched the regular reading to use this alternative lectionary reading. It only comes up every 3 years, and I thought we'd have the opportunity to explore it together. And to make the waters even more choppy, I used the King James Version today, if you didn't notice the saiths and the thous. But we need to use that version today because the New Revised Standard Version, which we normally use in church and in our lectionary, leaves out this passage. It leaves out this crucial bit of history. It leaves out the part, "An angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had." It's only in these old texts and doesn't make it into the modern translations. And that's too bad, because the troubling of the water is, in my opinion, a key element of the work of God in the Spirit and the work of the Spirit in the world. And the fact that a legend or myth or reality that made this place famous for healing is exactly why I think Jesus shows up at the pool himself. He certainly knew of this place. He'd been going there his whole life. It's an important and holy place known for the miraculous. Jesus's work at the healing pool, however, provides us with a new dimension of the legend, that of equality. He sees this guy that's been left behind by society, that nobody else seems to have noticed. And he recognizes him. And he calls to him, and he listens to him, and he heals him. All of this on a better not do a miracle on a Sabbath day, because Jesus doesn't care for rules and regulations that don't benefit God's creation. He sidesteps the rules because he creates new ones. He pulls down the barriers that stand between the ones that need to be healed and a society that literally steps over the most vulnerable. He offers another way to believers that have been waiting their whole lives for someone just to see them. He rewrites the legend of the angel of the waters and turns it into a story that points out the human interaction involved in miracles. Seeing, recognizing, listening, and loving, this all comes before the healing. So as this water is muddled up for us today, I ask, what is our human interaction with miracles? How are we involved in facilitating the work of the Spirit in the world? I've been thinking a lot about the homeless epidemic that continues to rise in our big urban cities in America and even smaller cities and suburbs like Mountain View and Palo Alto and Sunnyvale. I've been reading and researching and trying to figure out what we can do, if anything. And it turns out that homelessness that we've all thought has been the result of a lagging and collapsing economy is really mainly caused by prosperity. Communities with the biggest wealth concentrations are the ones with the largest homeless populations. The biggest homeless population are people living on Social Security or working minimum wage jobs. And after that, we have the mentally ill, like Daniel, who sometimes sleeps in our garden, can barely speak, and he has many health problems. These are the people that society just wants to forget. We step over them as we go on our way and as they continue to wait for a chance for wholeness. Etienne sleeps in our parking lot. She is 85, and she sleeps every night in a van. We used to have a mother and her high school-age daughter that lived in our lot. Mom got sick. She lost her job. Dad left, bills stacked up, her rent went up, and just like that, they became homeless. And as a society becomes more obsessed with punishment for the unsightly RVs and tent villages, where regular human beings that can't afford apartments for $3,000 a month live, our options are running out. So people in RVs and cars risk losing them and becoming homeless. And homeless shelters that are already filled to capacity will have to turn people away. And then more people will become sick and they will die because prosperous communities don't want to see them or talk to them. And according to Jesus, wholeness and healing and restoration starts with just simple recognition and understanding. If we are to be the hands and feet of Christ in this world, if we are to be love in this community, we are then called to be the human component of miracles. We are called to be change agents. What can we do? We can speak of love. We can use the compassion that we've been shown to change hearts and minds in a world that's so blind to human need, that's intent on taking and not giving. We can work to bring about the kingdom, a place of justice and mercy, a place where all can be seen and recognized and listened to, a fountain of clean water, a gathering place for all of God's children. We, every single one of us, participate in ministry with Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and the communion of saints. And we participate in showing the world what restoration can really look like, what it can be like. Because it's not a matter of if, but it's a matter of when. Because God's gonna trouble the waters. Amen.